Every day at this time, we talk Stanley Cup playoffs with you. Yeah, we're going to keep you in the loop, even if you don't want to, even though if you're still mad or sad or disappointed from the Predator season being over, we're going to keep you in the loop on what's going on. Hopefully, you're still checking things out. Dan Rosen, NHL.com. We have to start right out of the gates by telling him, you were right. I gave you grief with your prediction. You were right. You did predict the Stars to win.
I did, and I also have the Blues going to the Stanley Cup Final, so I we'll see, you know. But I also had Tampa Bay winning the Stanley Cup. So
well, so did
everybody. I wasn't 100% right. Let's put it that way.
I don't think anybody gets fault or blame for picking Tampa to win it all. That's
but
interesting.
I'll take the credit for the, you know, the Dallas win, right? I mean, that's. No, I won't. No.
What? Look, you, what credit where credit is due, and you did there pick you it. Go. We talked about it with you, and you told
I
us why.
I liked the way Dallas was playing. I thought that their defense and goaltending would frustrate Nashville, and I think it did. And the power play was a problem for the Predators. It was a big problem all year, and it's something they really do have to fix in the offseason. They have to. That's a big problem for them this season, and I think it ended up costing them big time in the playoffs.
What did you make of the whole? I mean, we spent a lot of time on the show yesterday talking about what was the night before, and certainly the league got tons of attention. Probably not the attention they were looking for, but just what was your takeaway from how that game ended in St. Louis, Game 3?
I mean, it's an unfortunate ending the way it ends. It's not the first time we've seen it happen in professional sports that a game ends on a call that, you know, we look on video review or on replay and say, man, I mean, had they missed that, but they missed it. You know, in live time, I mean, obviously that's a hand pass. And Colin Campbell, the senior VP of hockey ops in the NHL, was on, I believe, the NHL Network yesterday, and Sportsnet up in Canada, Sportsnet Radio, Hockey Central, talking about it, and he basically said that, you know, like, it was a hand pass, but it didn't get called, and it was missed. We have the ability to look back at it and see it in slow motion and see exactly what happened. It's a non-reviewable play in the book. The refs don't have that. Right. They don't have what we have. And it's an unfortunate way of ending the game. I will say this. I don't want to say I chuckled, but, you know, I did. Like, Jordan Binnington, obviously upset, right? I mean, and who wouldn't be? Obviously upset. Braden Schenn, obviously upset. But big picture, that's not how you want to lose. And, yeah, maybe it, you know, it potentially cost them a win. We don't know how the rest of overtime would have gone, but you give up a goal with 61 seconds left in regulation to tie the game. Binnington doesn't make the save on Carlson even after the hand pass. I mean, he gave up 5 in the game. There were other opportunities for the Blues to win that game, so it didn't have to come down to that. But it did come down to that, and it's unfortunate, and I do think it's going to bring up more topics and more questions. It already has. But certainly among the general managers and the board of governors about, do you expand video review? I don't know what the answer is on that, because they opened this box up when they went to the coaches' challenges for offside and goalie interference. And now, where does it end? I guess that's the question. And it's going to be a very interesting debate that is had in the National Hockey League circles for quite some time, I think.
It's funny that you brought that up, because I said that very thing on the show. It stinks it ended that way. Obviously, it looks like they got it wrong, but maybe don't give up a goal with a minute to go.
Yeah, and
same thing with the San Jose Vegas thing. It's a bad call, but don't give up 4 power play goals in 4 minutes.
Don't give up. You know, they didn't give them a goal, you know, in the San Jose Vegas. They gave them a 5-minute power play, and in hindsight, sure, that shouldn't have been a 5-minute power play. Maybe it shouldn't have even been a 2-minute power play. Don't give up 4 goals. Kill it off a little bit, right?
Yeah.
You know, bad break, bad luck. You can't let it confess. This one, they, you know, a hand pass directly led to a goal. That's the hard part. You know, in the Columbus-Boston series, the puck went off the netting and nobody saw it. And then it goes over to Bjorkstrand, Oliver Bjorkstrand, who moves it to Panarin, and Panarin scores. that's non-reviewable. If Bjorkstrand had shot it into the net, it is reviewable according to the rules. Might seem silly, but that's the way the rule is written right now. You know, in the end, though, it was just one goal, and it was the middle of the game. And Bruce Cassidy brought this up yesterday, the Bruins coach. He said the difference is that we had time to recover, whereas obviously St. Louis did not. So very unfortunate way of ending a game. But let's see if they can rebound and make it so it's not that big of a deal in the end.
We'll know tonight. Dan Rosen, NHL.com on the line with us. John Davidson resigning as the president of the Blue Jackets, of their hockey operations. Looks like he's headed to the Big Apple to take over that role with the Rangers. So everybody, you know, Columbus, it paid off. You know, I scratched my head going, what in the world are you doing? They got into the playoffs, and they did something they never done in franchise history. They actually won a series, and, oh, by the way, it happened to be courtesy of Tampa, sweeping the best team in hockey in the regular season, but they would falter in round two. But now, Dan, as you know, they've got huge decisions to make, and they're trying to find out who's coming, who's staying, who's going. How can they convince some of these guys to stay? How do you think this is going to play out in Columbus?
Well, first off, you're 100% right in terms of it worked out. I mean, they won a round. They got past it. They did something. They ignited their fan base. You know, that is a huge thing. Hockey grew in the last month and a half in Columbus because of that. And you guys in Nashville, I'm sure, understand that. You know, what was it like when the Predators finally first won that first, you know, the first series, got into the second round? Remember that? I mean, it was ignited. That ignited the fan base in Nashville, and it was big. There's massive changes coming now, and John Davidson is the first domino to fall. I don't believe Panarin's coming back. I don't believe Bobrovsky's coming back. Although, if I had to pick one, I would say Bobrovsky over Panarin because, you know, the goaltending situations with teams is a little different than needing a scoring winger. I mean, a lot of teams do have goalies, but I think they're going to be a package deal to the Florida Panthers. I've written that in my mailbag that runs every Wednesday a couple of times. I think they're both going to Florida. We'll see. It's just a hunch. But Duchesne is another one. Is he going to come back? Is he not going to come back? I think it's 50-50 at this point, maybe even less. So there are changes coming. But the good news for the Blue Jackets is John Davidson spent a number of years there, 7 years there, and built that franchise to what it is now. You know, it's very well known now in the community. There is a base there for them to build off of that was not there before him. They went to the second round of the playoffs. Their fans are ignited. There is a base there for them to build off that previously wasn't there. And they've got good young players. Werenski, Jones, are just terrific. Pierre-Luc Dubois, Cam Atkinson, Nick Foligno is not a young player, neither is Atkinson, but they're right in the prime of their careers. They've got good talent. They've got more coming. I think they're going to be okay, but there's going to be major changes coming there, and there's no question about it.
Dan Rosen is with us, NHL.com. Dan, just coming back to your thoughts at the beginning of the interview, there's no question that you could argue that the downfall, if you boil it down to one thing for the Predators, was the lack of production for the power play, certainly in the series, but really it was a problem the entire year. So how do you fix a power play? Like, how do you go about it? Because that's what everybody's kicking around here is what exactly to do about it, because they're going to have a lot of the same players back, and there's no reason that those players couldn't bounce back and do well, but they definitely, it became a mental thing, I thought, as much as a physical thing.
I think you're right on the mental part of it. I think, and what's interesting is I just finished covering a series, the Carolina-Boston series, where Carolina couldn't score on the power play.
Yeah, it got into their head.
Time they were on the power play, and it got into their head. And Rod Brind'Amour, Carolina's coach, was talking about that. He said, you know, even last night, after they get a power play early in the game, he said, and it took the energy right out from us because it's in their head now. They're thinking about it. They're overthinking, overpassing, looking for something great instead of just trying to put the puck at the net and work from there, right? Work off the shot. I don't know if that's necessarily what the problem was for the Predators. There was a lot of different issues, but I think it does become a mental grind on the power play. When you get one, you worry rather than when you get one, you get energized. If you score, you know, if you're 20% on a power play, 22%, even 19%, 18%. When you're in that neighborhood, that 18% to 22% on the power play, you're thinking to yourself, okay, this can energize us. When you're struggling the way the Nashville Predators struggled all year, you're worried that it's going to take energy away from you. And I think that that's what happens. And then you just don't play it right. So that's the mental part about it. The physical part about it, they have to look at new ways to try to score. I mean, they have to look through their power plays this year and really, you know, that's an off-season challenge for this team, for the coaching staff, to look through their power plays this year and go over, why couldn't we score? What was wrong? What are we missing? Maybe look at some of the good power plays in the league and say, okay, what do they have that we don't have right now? Do we have to move guys around? Do we have to put guys in different positions? You know, do our entries need to be better? Do our, you know, do we need to play a little bit further down low? This is a whole analysis that they have to do all offseason, because you know that's the difference. It already was for them. It was the difference, and to me, in that series. What were they, 0 for 15?
Yeah.
Power play against Dallas? Well, you're not going to win a series when you don't score a power play goal.
Dan, it's interesting how a team can sort of change its narrative, especially in the postseason. The Bruins, and you correct me if this is off base, but there was a time in the regular season where they were considered a little top heavy, right? Relying a little too
much on their top line.
And do they have the balance? And it's anything but that right now. They're getting great contributions from people down in the order. So how did they do it? Because right now it looks like they're clicking and they're going to be very, very tough to beat in the final.
Well, how they did it was they did the right thing, experimented with David Pastrnak playing with David Krejci, and then went back to Pastrnak with Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron, because those three guys are such dynamic players together. They belong together. They need to be together, and you have to figure it out outside of them. So that's what they did. They did that, and that was key. And they've even gone back to Pastrnak with Krejci in the playoffs to get Pastrnak going, to change things up for him. But in the end, they always come back to that top line with Marchand, Pastrnak, and Bergeron. So that's the good thing. They added Charlie Coyle. There's your third-line center. They didn't have that before. They did not have a number three center. They tried out a number of different guys in this season, and they couldn't find a fit there. Charlie Coyle became a fit there. They added Marcus Johansson. Well, there's your third-line left wing, right? Put him with Danton Heinen, who was playing on the top line with Bergeron and Marchand at times when Pastrnak was not there. Now you've got a viable third line. You've got to figure out what you do on the right side of your second line, right? Okay, can David Backes handle this? Play him in limited minutes, but give him the energy. Play him in the right situations, and bang, you've got Krejci, DeBrusk, and David Backes as a really good second line. So now you got three lines, right? Three scoring lines. But let's not forget about what you have on your fourth line, because I think Sean Corrali is one of the more underrated players in the National Hockey League, the kind of guy that you really only appreciate if you watch him night in and night out. He is a fourth-line center, but he could be a third- or second-line center, and he drives the bus for a fourth line that was dominant. It has been dominant in the playoffs. So that's how you get your depth. You fill it out with Coyle. You fill it out with Johansson. You make it work with Backes. You keep the top line together. And all of a sudden, you've got four lines that are coming at you in waves. And Toronto handled it a bit, but still struggled in the end. Columbus handled it a bit, but still struggled in the end. And Carolina had no chance.
Dan, we always enjoy our visits. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right. You got it, guys.
Dan Rosen, NHL.com. We'll come back, talk a little bit more about what you just heard on the other side. 102.5 The Game.